It's good to be with you today. I've enjoyed our meeting as we're past the halfway point and moving toward the end of our meeting. I just want to say again how grateful I am to the elders and all of the brethren here for the invitation to spend some time this week in a study of God's Word. All of you have been very encouraging to me, and I appreciate that. And I hope we can spend some time this morning in a study of God's Word that will encourage you to remain faithful to the Lord. The lessons this week, several of them have been suggestions by the elders, and I hope that I've done my part in fulfilling what they would like for the brethren here and those who are visiting. This morning, I want to do a lesson that I thought about myself with regard to encouraging you to remain faithful to the Lord. I appreciate you as a congregation standing for the truth in this area, and I want to encourage you to remain faithful to the Lord. And one area of New Testament study that I've been thinking about lately is that of the prayers of the Apostle Paul. So we're going to be looking at those this morning. And what got me to thinking about this lesson some time back was I began to look at the prayers of the Apostle Paul, and when you look at what he prayed for, that lets you know what needs to be in your life and in my life. Paul prayed for spiritual principles that were in people's lives. And you're going to notice that he never prayed for physical things or worldly things or earthly kinds of things. He prayed for spiritual principles that were in the lives of Christians. And what that tells us is that it needs to be in our life. Paul was so spiritually minded. On one occasion, he wrote, "It is not I that live, but Christ who lives in me." On another occasion, he wrote that, "I want to magnify Christ in my body." And when you look at his life, you see that he clearly practiced what he preached. He was so devoted to the preaching of the Word of God, and he sacrificed so greatly for that. And he was constantly doing the Lord's work. And when you hear his prayers, you begin to see the kinds of qualities that he recognized as noble in people's lives. And he said, "I thank my God always." And so those were the kinds of things that he was looking at in his life and when he was praying. And so let's look this morning at what Paul remembered and admired about his brethren. Paul didn't say, "Boy, I'm so thankful for the clothes that they're wearing," or, "I'm so thankful for the church buildings that they have," and, "I'm so thankful for the modes of transportation that they're using." He never prayed for things like that. When you look at his prayers, you see what he really admired in brethren, and that's what needs to be in our lives today. And our young Christians here today, and I appreciate the young people that we've had over the past few days, you have these qualities in your life. Your friends and the world around you are not going to care about these kinds of things, but you need to, and I need to. This is what makes us right with God. This is what puts us and keeps us on the path to heaven. Let's have these qualities in our life. When you look at the world around us today, you find that so many other things are admired. Look at the recent Super Bowl halftime show. Look at what is admired in this country. And I would not suggest that you watch that. I did not. I saw one small element of it that was reported on afterwards. I wouldn't even recommend seeing that. We admire immorality. We admire vulgarity. We admire looseness. We admire power and privilege and prestige. We admire sinful relationships. There are so many things in this world that are admired today that should not be. And so I want to remind us, and I want to encourage you, brethren, to keep being faithful to the Lord as you are. Keep standing for truth. Keep living the Christian life. Parents, keep parenting the way you're parenting and raising up your children in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. And husbands, keep loving your wives as Christ loved the church. And wives, being submissive as we are to Christ. And children, obey your parents and Let's serve the Lord, and I want to encourage you to keep doing that this morning. And to do that, I want to look at Paul's prayers. Let's begin with the scripture reading that we had this morning in Romans chapter 1. Let's begin and survey Paul's prayers for his brethren and what he remembered and admired about his brethren. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1 in verse 8, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is proclaimed throughout the whole world." Paul was thankful for the faith of the Romans. Notice that Paul didn't say, "I am thankful for the large church building that they have. I'm thankful for the dynamic preacher that they have. I'm thankful for the large crowds that they have. I'm thankful for all of the youth that they have." Those things maybe are not necessarily wrong, but that's not what Paul was thankful for. He was thankful that their faith was proclaimed throughout the whole world. Faith that comes by hearing God's word, Romans 10, 17. Just simply being faithful to the Lord. Trust, confidence in the Lord. That's what Paul was thankful for. Faith is not to be considered a small thing. Without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to God. For those who come to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is no small thing. And to have your faith proclaimed throughout the world, that's what you need to be known for, brethren, here at Adu Street, that your faith is proclaimed. It doesn't matter about the numbers. It doesn't matter about other physical kinds of things, but that you simply are faithful to the Lord. And parents, that you're faithful to Christ and I've been there. You have to push out the pressures of the world. I've been there when the teenager comes and says, "Well, I want to wear a certain thing and I want to talk a certain way." And I've been there where you have to say, "Now look, we've got to follow biblical principles and we've got to push out the ways of the world." And so parents, as you face those kinds of things, it's your faith that is what you want to be known for. And don't be ashamed of that and don't be afraid of that. Paul was so thankful that their faith is proclaimed throughout the whole world. We just need to get back to the fundamentals of faith. And I'm talking about a biblical faith, a faith that obeys, a faith that is grounded on the Word of God, not on feelings. Faith, not feelings. Paul didn't say, "I'm thankful to God that your feelings are proclaimed throughout the world." Today it's about feelings. The New Testament teaches feelings. The New Testament teaches emotions, love and joy and peace. There are all kinds of emotions in the New Testament that are taught. But feelings follow faith, not the other way around. Faith, grounded on the Word of God, comes first, and then that produces the proper feelings in our life. But today it's about how I think and how I feel. Paul was not thankful for that kind of thing, but for their faith that was proclaimed. And if you back up a few verses, he calls it the obedience of faith in chapter 1 and verse 5. And in chapter 10 and verse 17, he says that faith comes by hearing, not young people, not by feelings. Today, we're so caught up because of our phones and other things, we are so caught up on images. Images move us to do this or that. Instead of the words of Scripture, today it's images that are moving and sounds that are being made. That's what we're grounding our lives on. But 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And Paul even closes in chapter 16 with the same expression, the obedience of faith. So when we get back to a biblical faith, that's what Paul remembered and thanked God for, and we need to have that in our life. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 19, at the end of this book, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. Look at that. That's what you're known for. Your obedience is come abroad unto all men. Don't you ever downplay and say, well, we're just obeying. We're in a world now where some, including some brethren, are no longer obeying. So yes, your obedience is come abroad unto all men. Let that be what you're known for in your personal lives. And young people, when you go to school this week, you hold your head high that I'm obeying Christ. That's what's important. I'm dressing modestly. I don't use bad words. I don't use my phone to look at things that I should not look at and to bet on certain sports events and things like that. I'm obeying Christ. There are so many of the parables where Jesus talks about when he comes again, will he find his servants obeying? And will he find his servants doing what he wants? That's a very important thing. Don't ever downplay faith or obedience. Or, as Paul writes, an obedience of faith, joining those two together. The fact that their faith and their obedient faith was being proclaimed, Paul was thankful for that. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul was thankful for the fact that the Corinthian brethren had a knowledge of God's Word. We live in a world today where it's a knowledge of everything else. Somebody has said that knowledge is doubling every very short period of time. We're doubling our knowledge on all the kinds of things that we can know in the world, and that's not necessarily bad. But we need to be knowing the Word of God. Are we reading God's Word daily? Are we putting that into practice? So let's look at a second prayer of the Apostle Paul. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given unto you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in Him, in all utterance and all knowledge. And by the way, we're hearing so much about grace today that is distorted. I would remind you that in verse 4, the grace of God was given you, verse 4, and part of that grace of God which is given involves being enriched in the knowledge of Him. Grace is not devoid of God's knowledge. It's like Paul says in Titus 2, the grace of God instructs us. It's not just some touchy-feely thing, but it's a grace of God which is given by utterance and knowledge. But notice what he says, in everything you were enriched in Him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony, that's words, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was thankful that when he came to them in Acts 18 and preached the gospel and reasoned in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and Crispus and his household heard that gospel and obeyed it, Paul was thankful that they were enriched. And look at that in verse 5, enriched. That's not physical money. That's enriched in the knowledge of God's Word. That's what makes us spiritually wealthy. Today, it's so much about physical money and all the latest things that we can buy, but Paul says you were enriched with utterance and knowledge. Utterance is literally just words, God's Word. And so, brethren, be known for that in your life, that you're filling your life, that you're enriched, not just a little bit, not a smattering, not a scattering, not just a small amount, but you are filled up with the Word of God in your life and in the lives of your children. That's what he was so thankful for. We need to get back to that. Knowledge-based Christianity. We're moving into the area of feelings-based Christianity. Again, as I said earlier, feelings Look at the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. All of those are feelings. All of those are emotions. But it has to be based on walking by the Spirit, where we walk by His words. Then we will produce the fruits of the Spirit that involve emotions and feelings. But feelings follow faith. They don't get in front of faith. And make sure that you are enriched. You, your spouse, if you're married, if you have children, that you are enriched in the words and the knowledge and the testimony of Christ. I come back to this point more than once. Make sure, please, that you have some sort of a daily Bible reading in your life. I beg you. It is a great way to start the day. It's a great way to close the day. And we've now got Bible apps, YouVersion, which I use, and you can have it just right there. Let it be the first thing that you see in the morning or the last thing that you see when you go to bed at night. Not, I grab my phone in the morning to see what the latest texts are, but I grab my phone in the morning to see what God's Word says. And I try to do that in my life as well. Let it be the first thing you see and the last thing you see. Go to the settings on your phone and put that scripture on your home page and let it be what you see there all day long. We've got to be enriched and filled, and that way you will be grounded as you go through life. And you can talk with others about the Word of God because you really know it in your life. You're not going to be led astray by false teaching. You're not going to get on the latest bandwagon of just following the latest personalities and somebody's podcast and this and that. But you'll be grounded in the Word of God. And that's what Paul was thankful for. And notice that he says, he describes it as that you were enriched in all the utterance and knowledge and the testimony of Christ. We're talking about spiritual knowledge. Don't be someone, well, I can give you all the latest sports statistics, and I can tell you everything about today's Dow Jones stock market, and I can tell you all about this, and I can tell you all about that. But then, well, when it comes to the Word of God, well, I just don't know much about that. And I can tell you what the top TikTok videos are, and I can tell you what the top Instagram topics are, but I don't know much about the Word of God. I'm not opposed to those kinds of things. We'll talk about that more this evening. I'm not opposed to social media. It can be used in a good way. But sometimes we are filled with all other kinds of knowledge that we don't know the Word of God that is able to save our souls. So let's make sure that we're filled with that. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians, the second letter that Paul wrote where he offered up another prayer. He was thankful that they were praying for him. Be a praying people and pray for others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and following, Paul had talked about the various trials that he had faced, which had befell him in Asia, different things that he had to suffer on his preaching trips, and how that God had comforted him through those things, and he was able to turn around and comfort others. And then we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, who delivered us out of a great death and will deliver on whom we have set our hope that he will also still deliver us. Yea, also helping together on our behalf by your supplication that the gift bestowed upon us by means of many thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf. If you back up to verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. It's a prayer and a blessing and a praise to God. And toward the end of that, he says, God helped us, but you also helped, look at that, helping together on our behalf by your supplication. Lord, I'm so thankful for the prayers of the Corinthian brethren. Be known for being a praying person. Pray in front of your children as much as possible, in addition to meals. Let your children see that you're a praying mom and dad in addition to meals. And supplication here, pouring out your desires and petitions. Lord, please help the Apostle Paul. Please give Paul strength. When Paul was there, he had to be firm about some things because some who were living very wickedly came out of that sin because of the gospel. But they appreciated Paul for doing that. And when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, he was firm with them about the fact in chapter 1 through 4 that they were divided. And in chapter 5, they're harboring the fornicating brethren. In chapter 6, they're taking some to court. And in chapter 7, they're divorcing. And in chapters 8, 9, and 10, they're exercising their personal opinions to the detriment of others. And 11, 12, 13, and 14, they're exercising spiritual gifts in a way that are divisive. And in chapter 15, some of them have denied the resurrection. Paul wrote all of that, and yet they appreciated Paul. And they prayed for him. Today it's, well, if you criticize me and try to correct me in any way, well, I'm going to write you off. These brethren prayed for Paul. Please help him in his journeys and in his afflictions. And he was so thankful for that. Be a praying people. And pray that the gospel will continue to be spread. And pray for gospel preachers here and abroad. And when Mark comes back and gives a report on his trips, and he talks about brethren in other countries that struggle and preachers that struggle, pray for them. Include them in your prayers at home. And let the kids hear you pray by name. Brother Mario Rubio, or I'm praying today for Cornelio Rhoda, or I'm praying for James Pyatt. Let them hear you pray for brethren, and they will do it as they grow up in their life. They were known for being a praying people. Let's be known for that today. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1. Paul was grateful that these Ephesians had faith in Jesus and brotherly love toward others. Have a strong faith in Jesus and show brotherly love toward the members here of this congregation. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15, for this cause I also, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which is among you, and the love which you show toward all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Be known for someone who's open in your faith of Jesus. Young people, don't try to hide that. Don't go to school and work in other places and hide your Christianity. Paul was so thankful that, look at that, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus. Are you saying and doing things where people hear that you have faith in Jesus? And the love which you have toward all the saints. That's not limited to the church building. Some of you showed your love yesterday and buying my lunch. I appreciate that. Love is shown. Yes, we can say it, and yes, we can say some things here at the building, but outside the building, do we show our love toward our brethren, this sister that needs to be picked up on Wednesday? Here's an idea, young people. Go to your parents after services today and say, Mom, Dad, I'd like to take the car and pick up this sister on Wednesday. Can I use the car to go pick her up? I'm pretty certain they're going to say yes. I'm serious about that. I used to tell my kids, hey, I need you to go pick up so-and-so. Dad, you really have to. Go do it. That's how they learn how to serve. That's how they learn how to care. That's how they learn how to love people. And so you're known for your faith in Jesus and your love toward the brethren. Be known for those kinds of qualities. The same thing we find in Colossians chapter 1, if you'll turn with me there. Be known for that kind of character. We're talking this morning about the kind of character that Paul remembered and admired in his brethren. He doesn't talk about what brethren wear and what they drive and what kind of house they live in and where in town they live. He wasn't praying about that kind of thing. He didn't pray, Lord, I'm so thankful that the brethren have the latest iPhone. I'm just so thankful that they got an iPhone 17, you know. Colossians 1 Verse 3, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Look at this. Having heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have toward all the saints. Just like Ephesians 1. Be known for that. Be known for the brother and the sister and the young Christian at the church here who shows their love by offering the ride or sending the encouraging text or email or helping here at the building, visiting a shut-in. Listen, our godly elderly brethren, they don't want you to bring anything. You know what they want? They just want you to stop by and visit for a few minutes. You don't have to take anything. You don't have to buy anything. Just go talk with them for a few minutes. They appreciate that. And young people, you can do that as well. Paul was so thankful for the fellowship, particularly in using their funds to support gospel preaching. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. Be a giving people so that you can have fellowship in the gospel, where the gospel can continue to be preached here in Alvin, and Mark and others can take it overseas and preach there. Help sponsor and support the preaching of the gospel. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon all my remembrance of you always in every supplication of mine, on behalf of you all, making supplication with joy. Why, Paul? For your fellowship in the furtherance of the gospel from the first day until now. And if you turn over to chapter 4, you find out specifically what that is. It's having fellowship with Paul by sending funds. They had done that through Epaphroditus in chapter 2. Paul, here are some funds that when you leave Macedonia, you can keep preaching the gospel. Sometimes he would make tents, and sometimes to support himself, and sometimes brethren would support him. And that's the fellowship of the gospel here. We're blessed so greatly in this nation with the jobs that we have and the income that we have. And take some of that and support the preaching of the gospel with that. One thing about the brethren at Warfield that I'll brag on them a little bit, I guess, and commend them that with over the past few years in making these trips, and it's not just limited to overseas trips. Sometimes they will want to support things even locally, but brethren will come to me and say, listen, we really want to help with this matter. And they're very generous. And we've got a brother, and he absolutely means it. He'll come up to me just every few weeks. He'll say, listen, I know that you're helping brethren overseas and preachers overseas. You tell me anytime you need something, you come tell me. When's the last time we said something like that? He said, and he means it because I've tried it and it works. I'll go to him and he actually means it. Okay. He said, anytime you need something, you just let me know. And a few weeks ago, he walked up and said, you know, brother so-and-so that we support overseas, does he need anything? Have you talked with him lately? Do I need to help you with anything? What a great attitude. And so Paul is so thankful for these Philippian brethren because they were fellowshipping in, look at this, the furtherance of the gospel. So the gospel is not only going out in Alvin, but it's also going out in other places. And our preaching brethren in other places are doing well. Baptisms all the time, other kinds of work in the Lord all the time. And so we can help assist that, and the kingdom continues to grow. And a little bit actually goes a very long way, especially in other countries. So be known for that congregationally. So the elders taking the Lord's money and congregationally using some of that for the preaching of the gospel. And then even individually, just go to Mark and say, listen, if there is somebody that needs some help somewhere, please let me know. I want to be doing that. That is such a great thing. And then here's why. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Somebody says, well, why would I want to do that? Well, here's why. Philippians 4:17. Not that I seek for the gift, that was their monetary support, but I seek for the fruit that increases to your account. It's what Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, that whenever you do that, whenever you give it away, you're laying up in store a good foundation for the life to come. That's what you're doing. It's like a spiritual bank account. Every time you're giving it away, you're building that spiritual bank account that God will greatly reward you for. Let's be known for that kind of a character. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and notice there that Paul prayed for the faith and the love and the hope of the Thessalonians. That's a great trifecta or a great triad or a great trinity of moral character, faith, hope, and love. 1 Thessalonians 1 in verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of your prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Not faith only. Your work of faith. It's the obedience of faith, Romans 1, 5. Here it is, the work of faith and your labor of love. Love is not just saying to your brethren, I love you. It shows itself in some work. Get out there and do some labor of love and patience of hope. We're not going to be a quitter. We're not going to give up. We're not going to let little things in life, and there will be things in marriage and parenting and jobs and cultural things that try our patience, but we're going to have a patience of hope, a steadfastness, a perseverance. We're not going to let the things of this life wear us down to where we quit. Well, I went to the doctor the other day and I was diagnosed with an illness. We're not going to let that cause us to quit. And so it's a great trinity of character that we need to have in our life. You can see the same thing in chapter 3 and verse 6. Timothy brought us glad tidings of your faith and love, and that you have good remembrance of us longing. And in these other passages, faith, hope, and love. Be known for that. But not just faith, hope, and love, but a work of faith and a labor of love and a patience of hope. All of that is grounded on the Word of God in our lives, and put that into practice. Be known for that very kind of thing. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you come on down in Paul's prayer, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word of God in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Their steadfast perseverance in the proclamation of the gospel. And when Paul came in Acts chapter 17, what happened? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. You received, or verse 13, you received it as it was the word of God. And then in verse 14, you became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea, for you also suffered the same things of your own countrymen. Steadfast perseverance in trials and suffering. Those kinds of things will be had in your life from time to time, where you will have to go through those kinds of things. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we find this very kind of thing. Let no man beguile you. Paul wanted to correct a matter involving the second coming of Christ, and he did not want them to be led astray. Verse 2, some of them were teaching that Jesus' coming is just at hand. And Paul said, no, there are some other things that have to take place first. This man of sin, man of lawlessness, this period of time in which people are going to be anti-God and anti-Christ, and they're going to promote a lawless behavior, this kind of thing has to come first, and then Jesus will come. But notice how he didn't want them to be beguiled. And look at what he says, that no man trouble you, verse 2, that no man trouble you, and that you're quickly shaken from your mind. Brethren, be known for Christians who are solid and grounded and firm. And we're not going to be tossed about Ephesians 4, tossed about by every wind of doctrine. And young people especially, please do not be tossed about by any little, any person's podcast and this youth weekend and this kind of thing. And I'm just so caught up in all this kind of stuff. Ask yourself, what does the Word of God teach? And if I'm not really sure, go to your parents or go to the elders or come to Mark and be someone who's steadfast and grounded and not moved away and shaken and quickly troubled. So we find this character that is so important today of steadfast perseverance. Have that in your life and in the lives of your family. Paul was so grateful. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. Here's another one of Paul's prayers. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren. What was he thankful for? What was he praying for? Beloved of the Lord, for that God chose you from the beginning unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Lord, I am so thankful that these people are saved. I'm so thankful that they've obeyed the gospel. That's something that we need to remind ourselves of today. Sometimes we get caught up in so many things of the world around us, we forget. Oh, I'm so thankful that a young person was baptized last week. I'm so thankful that a person came forward and responded to the gospel. We need to be people who are thinking about our soul's salvation. That's more important than our job. We need jobs, but it's more important to be saved. And Paul was so thankful that these folks had been saved. How? In the sanctification of the Spirit, the words of the Spirit set us apart from sin and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you through our gospel. That's how salvation comes about. Let's be known for someone who's a Christian. And if there's someone here this morning that we can assist you and help you to come forward and be baptized into Christ, be known for that. That's more important than the things of this culture. And our young people, listen, sometimes, I need to worry about what my friends think, and I need to be concerned about this at school. Here's the priority. I need to become a Christian. That's first. And I'm going to have a character that makes sure that my salvation with God comes first. And if we can help you with that, even today, we want to do that. That's what's important in life. And that's what Paul was so thankful for. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're about to close this morning. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul was so thankful for Timothy and his background and his life and how he was raised. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers in a pure conscience, how unceasing in my remembrance of thee, in my supplication. There's your prayer. Night and day, longing to see thee, remembering what? What did Paul remember? What was Timothy known for? What he was wearing? What he was driving? What was he known for? Remembering thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, having been reminded of the unfeigned, that's not hypocritical, unhypocritical, in other words, sincere, pure faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. We're not told what Timothy was crying over, it just said his tears. But likely, given his work with Paul, it had to do with tears shed involving something in the Lord's work, I'm sure. And then also being known for this unhypocritical faith that he had gotten from his grandmother and his mother. What an important role the family plays today in our society. Let's be a faithful parent and pass that down to our children, and let's be a faithful grandparent and pass that down to our grandchildren. Our oldest grandchild, and some of you have many grandchildren, and you're blessed with that. But our oldest grandchild is only 8 years old. So 8 years ago was the first time when I walked in the church building and the brethren were saying, "Hey, Grandpa." I didn't know how to take that. That was new to me. A little different. But we strive our best to pass on our faith, and let us be known for that. You might have an adult child that you need to contact. You might have an adult child, maybe that's wayward. Sometimes that happens. But let's do our best to pass on our faith and keep working with our children. My parents had a situation like that in our family. And as they had gotten older, they tried to work as hard as they could to make sure that all of their children were faithful. But let's be known to pass on our faith. And that's why, parents, you brought your children here this week to the gospel meeting last week. And that means a whole lot. And that's going to go a long way down the road. And you're going to be able to look over one day and see the fruit of all of that as they grow up. And they're still here in this congregation. And they've married a Christian. And now they're having their own family. You're going to be able to look down the pew and see that one day. And that will pay off all that hard work that you had done. And Paul was so grateful for that kind of thing. And then last of all, Paul's last prayer in the little book of Philemon, he was so thankful to God. That Philemon was someone who was a person who loved others and showed it by caring for them. Philemon was known for his faith. And Philemon was known for his sharing and fellowship with others and encouraging other Christians. And Philemon was someone who refreshed others. Paul writes, "I thank my God always, making mention of thee in my prayers, hearing of thy love." Make sure that when you say you love others and love your brethren, make sure that you're showing it in such a way that people can hear about that. Oh, and we're not doing it in any kind of advertising way. Jesus said not to do that in Matthew 6. But, last week I heard that brother so-and-so did such and such. Last week I heard that sister so-and-so did such and such. Make sure that your love can be heard, and of thy faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all the saints, that the fellowship of thy faith may become effectual or working in the knowledge of every good thing which is in you unto Christ. For I had much joy and comfort in thy love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through thee, brother. Here is a man who was known for all of these things, love and faith and fellowship. And now Paul says, you are a guy that refreshes others. Have you ever been in a situation where you were refreshed? Maybe you're working outside and it's real hot in the summertime down here in Alvin, just hot and sweating, and you come in and you get maybe a big old glass of cold lemonade or iced tea. It's so refreshing. Or you step in out of the heat and the air conditioner's on, and you're like, "Ooh, I'm so refreshed." Be a Christian who refreshes others, not brings them down. Be a Christian who's encouraging and lifting up, not the constant complainer and the nagger. Philemon, Paul said, "I'm so thankful you have refreshed the hearts of the saints." Clearly, he had been saying and doing things to build people up. Let's be known for those qualities in our life. Well, brethren, I appreciate your time this morning. I thank my God always, looking at what Paul remembered and admired about his brethren, lets us know what we need to have in our lives today. Let's go out and be these kinds of Christians, as I know you already are and you want to be in your life. Let's continue to have those good things. If there is someone here this morning, one of the best things that we could thank God this morning for is that you step forward and put your life into Christ and be saved from sin. And we would love to help you do that. Why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?